Thank you, Shirley. If I was to ask you, actually, not if I was, I am going to ask you. When I mention the cross, when I say, could you summarize the cross in one word, what is the word that comes to mind? You get to shout out in church. We're going to be a little charismatic this morning. Jesus, salvation, love, rescue, obedience, forgiveness, freedom, sacrifice. Anybody else? What was it? Grace. Humbling. Glory. You know, it's interesting because all of the things that you shouted out this morning are true, but they're true because there are experience. The Roman cross, the cross that Jesus was placed on, was actually a device that was devised by the government of Rome to be the most excruciating form of human execution. It was literally devised that as you hung on the cross, your death would be the slowest death possible. It would literally take your breath away. When a person was hung on a Roman cross on a tree, there was nails placed through their wrists and their ankles, and those nails were necessary. What you had to do as you hung on a cross was you had to press against the wood in order to lift your body up using the nails that were pierced through the body in order to be able to breathe. And so each time that you would begin to lower a little bit, it would start to take your breath away. So think of the strength that it would take, nails in your wrists, to lift your body up just so that you could breathe. To be honest, folks, the cross is one of the most horrific torture devices that humans have ever come up with. Yet, historically, believers and non-believers see the cross in a transformed way. You see, Jesus took this torture device and transformed it into an icon of mercy. When you see the cross, you see forgiveness, you see redemption, you see hope, you see salvation. To just help you to understand what I'm getting at here is, if I said, in one word, summarize the gas chamber, would you have said hope, love, redemption, salvation? If I said in one word, summarize lethal injection, would you have said hope, love, forgiveness, beauty? The reason we don't see the cross for what it actually is, a torture device, a device that means death, the reason that we don't see it that way is because of what Christ did on the cross, and not just on the cross, but through the cross. The cross has been completely transformed because of Good Friday, because of today. In Luke chapter 23, I want to share just a small piece of the Good Friday story with you this morning. It says, by this time it was about noon. So Jesus has already been on the cross for about 3 hours. By this time it was about noon, and darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone, and suddenly the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle. Then Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. When the Roman officer overseeing the execution saw what had happened, he worshiped God and said, surely this man was innocent. And when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching. You see, darkness fell across the land. Now, some folks try to explain this darkness at noon. Darkness, noon, makes no sense, right? And some try to explain this darkness as a radical solar eclipse that just happened to happen at that specific moment. Now, most of the folks that use this reason for the darkness as this radical, unexplained solar eclipse are also the people who think we just magically appeared and things just happened to happen. You see, scientifically speaking, it was literally impossible for there to be a solar eclipse at this moment where the high moon of Passover was taking place. It was a supernatural darkening as an expression of God's displeasure and a sign of fulfillment. If we turn to the book of Amos in the Old Testament, Amos chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 say this: "In that day, says the sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads to show your sorrow." Only a few of us are actually biblical. "As if your own son had died. How very bitter that day will be." And then it says the curtain was torn in two, that the curtain split from the top right down to the bottom. In the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 9, verses 2 to 3, there were two rooms in the tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place, or some of you would recognize it as the holy of holies. And this place behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was kept there because it was considered to be the place where God dwelled, where his presence was. And you have to understand, in the Old Testament and in temple times, God's presence wasn't with all the people. God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. And once a year, on the Day of Atonement, the priest would go behind that curtain. And I've said this before, they would tie a rope around his waist because if he did something wrong, it wouldn't go so well. Which I've said this also is really ironic because usually we come up with that stuff after something bad happens. So I always, interesting to hear that board meeting at the temple elders meeting. How do we get the dead priest out behind the Holy of Holies? So they knew enough to tie a rope around his waist, and he would go in and he would give the atoning sacrifice for the people once a year. It was the way to make people right with God. You see, God's presence wasn't open to everyone. But the passage here says that the curtain ripped, that God's presence became exposed. And you need to understand what this means in temple times, that God's presence is now open for everyone, that the atoning sacrifice at this specific moment was now complete. The curtain was no longer needed. The Ark of the Covenant is no longer needed. Christ took upon himself all of our sins, becoming the perfect sacrifice to fulfill the requirements of the law. Not just for that moment, not just to wait for one more year where we could re-atone again, but for good. It means that our sins can now be forgiven. Can you imagine living a life where forgiveness of sins was not possible? Our sins could now be forgiven because of Christ's death on the cross. We can now be in the presence of God. No more ceremonies. Humanity can now be offered forgiveness, grace, and peace with God. Jesus took upon himself by going to the cross what we deserved. This moment, folks, is the most significant moment in the gospel. It's the good news, the news that the work of salvation has been accomplished for us by Jesus Christ through this torture device that we now have transitioned to see as something beautiful. This moment is the beginning of the new covenant, a covenant that changes lives, that offers forgiveness unconditionally. I want you to hear that again, that offers forgiveness unconditionally. It doesn't mean you're forgiven now, do everything right. You're forgiven, and Jesus gave his life on the cross so that you could be forgiven in that moment and then follow a list of rules and regulations. And if you screw up those rules and regulations, you need to be re-atoned for. No, that's not what it says at all. At this very moment on Good Friday, through faith, I'll get to that in a second, the atoning sacrifice has been made for you. Like Shirley said, God died for you. A new covenant, a covenant that offers us God's presence in our lives today. And in this story, we see people's first reaction. This is often overlooked, but we see that in chapter 23, verse 47, it says, when the Roman officer overseeing the execution, so the Roman officer in charge of making sure that Jesus was going to die, saw what had happened. And what happened when he saw what had happened? He didn't go, oh, great, my shift is over. I can punch out. The guy's dead. Instead, because of what he saw, because of what had happened, he worshiped God and said, surely this man was innocent. The text tells us that this man who was overseeing the execution saw everything that happened. But Luke, he leaves some of that as a mystery. He doesn't tell us what exactly that something is. But the person overseeing this would have seen the way that Jesus handled the cross, would have heard the interactions that Jesus had with the Roman soldiers and with the two men beside him. You see, folks, it was the way that Jesus took the cross upon himself that transformed this Roman soldier's thinking. He would have witnessed how Jesus willingly went to the cross, the strength that he had on the cross, the conversations that he had. And his reaction wasn't to run, to punch the time clock and say, my shift is over. Instead, the text tells us that he turned and worshiped God, that his heart was transformed by Christ's work on the cross. In Mark shares it like this. Mark says that when the Roman officer who stood facing him saw how he died, he exclaimed, this man truly was the Son of God. No doubt many others in the crowd had this same transforming experience by witnessing Christ's death. Yet the text also says that some just walked away in sorrow. Do you see this in the text? How it shows us the different reactions to the cross. Some of us are just sad. Some of us just see it as a sad, maybe possibly mythical story where impossible things seem to happen that we can't explain, and so it's just a sad story. Let's bring the Easter Bunny in to make it happy again. That's how some see it. They just leave full of sorrow, but others worshiped God. This is the way the cross works, folks. Some are transformed, and some just aren't. That's the nature of Good Friday. Do you recognize the power of the cross? Are the words that come to mind when you mention the cross, do you really truly believe those to be true? Or is it just a Roman cross that was used for execution? And culture has told you that it's beautiful, but it's not actually beautiful to you. You see, the beauty of the cross is the transforming power of the reality of that cross. The power of the cross, it takes a symbol of death and suffering and turns it into freedom, forgiveness, and peace. The death of Jesus Christ changed the world, and the cross represents that change. You see, it brings a broken and suffering world some hope. It brings a broken and suffering world the possibility of peace. The cross changes everything. But I want to ask you this morning, has the cross changed you? Do you believe that Jesus gave his life for you on the cross? The man in charge of the execution believed, and when you believe, what that does is causes you to worship. But this power of the cross, he became right with God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right. Interesting. Okay, God's showing us a way to be made right. I'm interested. I want to be made right. Made right with him. Listen, without keeping the requirements of the law. There's that freedom. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Now, Paul says this, for everyone has sinned. There's no one here that hasn't sinned. I know some people will say to me, you know, I had some friends of mine in the hockey world come into the building to drop off hockey jerseys one day, and he said, I'm surprised I haven't been hit by lightning. And I said, well, we don't do that anymore. We're contemporary now. We just judge you. You see, everyone has sinned. Everyone in this room has sinned. And Paul says we all fall short of God's glorious standard. All of us. Yet, God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins, which is Good Friday. His death on the cross is what laid our sins on Christ's shoulders. So he did this by freeing us from the penalty of sin, the cross. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedded his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair. Oh my goodness. God's being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. That is a whole sermon in itself. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. No matter what contemporary culture tells us, the gospel message, the message of the cross, is very simple. You don't need to be a theologian and get your PhD in theology to understand the simple gospel message. Jesus willingly gave his life on a Roman cross so that you could could be made right with God. And the simple way to receive Jesus Christ is through believing that he did this. Through believing that he gave his life on the cross for you. And according to Paul, that is what makes us right with God. The beauty of the gospel message is it's actually not about how you act and behave. We recognize in Scripture that how you act and behave is actually saturated in sin most of the time, even Christians. But the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, that we're getting into the Sunday where he is resurrected, where he's alive, but that he's seated at the right hand of the Father and that he's interceding for you and I. And it's like him saying, I know Jeff's an idiot, but I've got him covered. Do you understand how huge that is? No lightning bolt's going to hit you because you walked into a bricks and mortar facility where a bunch of sinners like to hang out. The gospel message is simple, folks. The cross of Christ is your window to salvation through faith in him. There's nothing else. Jesus did it all for us on the cross. Now, we can shape it through religiosity and all that fun stuff, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus and his death and his resurrection on Easter weekend. And so my question for you is simply this. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross for you? Are you that Roman centurion overseeing the resurrection, or overseeing the crucifixion? That's the word. Who sees and witnesses and goes, wow, I believe he must be the Son of God. Or are you the person who just walks away sorrowful and can't wait for Pascha?